What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Gridiron Fantasy Football Podcast for Monday, October 18th, 2021. And I am Chip, I'm your host, and thank you so much for listening today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for joining us as well. If you'd like to share our podcast, you can find us over on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and Pandora. You can also watch us on YouTube at Gridiron Fantasy Football, and that's where we do our weekly waiver wire show and all that stuff. We don't do a video podcast every single episode. I generally give that to just the waiver wire show, but you can always subscribe there and support the show. I would really appreciate that. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about all the main points of Week 6. A lot of a lot of good games, a lot of lopsided games though. Got like a few overtime games, so it was a pretty good week in general, just to watch. I generally don't get to watch all the games like I did yesterday, just because, the Bucks played on Thursday night, so I was able to put the Red Zone on and just watch all the games that I could, and it was kind of nice to be able to have a relaxing day like that and just kind of see all the teams play. But before we do that, let's get to talk about some of the injury news that took place on Sunday. So starting off with the Cleveland Browns, a big injury from Kareem Hunt. He had a non-contact injury where he had grabbed his calf. So he had a calf injury. And then reports came out on Monday morning that he's expected to miss several weeks and he may be on IR. And this is obviously not good news for the Cleveland Browns because they play on Thursday night. So Nick Chubb is already out. We have Kareem Hunt out. So, this week, D'Ernest Johnson is going to be the guy that is going to be the waiver wire pickup as a spot start because of those guys being out. So it may be longer than that because who knows how severe Nick Chubb's calf injury is, but we know Kareem Hunt's going to miss a few weeks. And now, Nick Chubb is going to be out too. So stinks for the Cleveland Browns, man. That's their 1-2 punch. They're a very good running team. And for them to miss both the running backs puts a lot of pressure on Baker Mayfield, who as well, he left that game briefly with a shoulder injury, which he already had. He has a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder, and he re-injured it yesterday. It looked like he might have dislocated his shoulder a little bit. He was able to go in the blue tent and get that taken care of and come back into the game. So it looks like he's going to try to play through it. But man, a lot of injuries are hitting that Browns offense right now, and they really need to be able to have everyone there to just continue to stay pace with the Ravens and whatnot. So, and the Bengals look good too. All right, and also going to the Washington football team. So Antonio Gibson, he's been playing through a shin injury, for majority of the season, and he left the game, in Week 6. Against the Chiefs, and it looks like he's going to have an MRI today, and we're still kind of waiting to hear about the results from that. So this could be an interesting dynamic too, because then J.D. McKissic will be the lead back there if Antonio Gibson can't go. And then New York Giants wide receiver Kadarius Toney was ruled out after sustained ankle injury against the Rams. So he was a waiver wire pickup that got you a few plays, and then he was out. Hopefully he'll be able to come back this week, but it all depends on how severe. He's probably going to undergo some tests and kind of see, what's going to be the timeline for him to come back. Then also Mike Williams of the Los Angeles Chargers, he left the game early yesterday due to a knee injury. This was a knee injury that he already had. He dealt with that in Week 5. What was interesting about this knee injury, he had bone, they're labeling it as a bone bruise. And so with that being the case, he left the game in Week 5 briefly, and then he came back and he scored another touchdown and he finished the game. It didn't seem like any ailments were kind of lingering. And then he didn't practice all this past week, and then he did start, he was active, and then just a disappointing game just because of injury. Like he got me 4.7 PPR points. But you can't get mad at that. I mean, if he wasn't healthy, they shouldn't have played him. I guess that would have been better off, like, for them to do that. But these guys always want to play. These guys will do whatever it takes to stay on the field. And then when things get flared up, you're going to have to take them out. So they have a bye week in Week 7. I don't think that Mike Williams will miss a game, but something to monitor. But they have a bye week, so really nothing relevant right now until Week 8. And then Let's see. Seahawks running back Alex Collins. He did not come back into the game last night against the Steelers. He's dealing with like a hip and glute type of injury. Pete Carroll saying there's a chance that he could play in week 7 against the Saints. But if not, then DJ Dallas and maybe Rashad Penny will be back for that game. So it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens with that dynamic. But if he can't play, then Chris Carson obviously won't be available. So that means that you're going to have to go down the line of running backs they have. That's why they kept so many running backs. So we'll see what happens with that. But keep a monitor on Alex Collins. And then staying with the Seahawks, Pete Carroll said that the team has reached out to Cam Newton. So obviously with Russell Wilson being out for, you know, six to eight weeks, you know, they're going to have to find a quality backup. And I think that Cam Newton obviously should be on a team. He's talented enough. I don't know if he'll start over Geno Smith, who's been in that system for a few years. But I do think that Cam Newton will be a good asset to kind of back him up and then see what happens in the few weeks that if he gets signed, then we'll see what happens. But and then lastly, so this kind of came out late yesterday, was that Tennessee Titans receiver A.J. Brown, we know he was dealing with a hamstring injury. He came out this week during an interview saying that he was going to be limited until week 10 with the snap. So if you're an A.J. Brown owner like I am in my Dynasty League, that's not good news to hear. You don't want to see a player who's coming off injury dealing with a hamstring, and then, which I understand why they're doing it, because you need to like keep that hamstring from, you know, getting re-injured. But now he's dealing with an illness, undisclosed illness. So we have no idea what it is, but now he's questionable for tonight's game. So if you have AJ Brown, you're waiting for AJ Brown for tonight. Already, I don't have a good feeling about this, because he's already going to be with limited snaps. If he's dealing with an illness, how much more limited would that be if he's active? So I think that you may need to pivot. If you didn't hear that news yesterday, you don't have a contingency plan, you might want to figure out what you want to do before the game starts tonight, because then you may be without AJ Brown. If you do have AJ Brown, if you're down by a certain amount of points, don't rely on that, because, you know, dealing with a hamstring and then an illness, I just can't see how effective he's going to be tonight. So something to monitor. So if you can find someone to pivot, hopefully you do. You know, this is what I do when I have guys playing on Monday night. So I have Stephon Diggs in my flex just for reasons like this, because you have no idea what happens in pregame warmups. You have no idea if there's going to be just an undisclosed thing that happens to a player, you know, right now, because we're dealing with this whole COVID stuff too. Like, now he has this illness. That's why I always put guys that are in my Sunday night lineup or in my, if I have a guys who are in my lineup who have a Sunday night game or a Monday night game, I always put them in my flex, so I have a way to pivot just in case. So if, say, Stephon Diggs couldn't play tonight, I can pivot to Emmanuel Sanders. Like, I have a contingency plan. So it's just something to monitor, but it'd be interesting to see if he plays tonight and how effective he is. Because I'm down by like 36 points, and I still got Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Dawson Knox going. So I'm down by 36. I got my three guys going, and then my opponent has AJ Brown. So, you know, I should assume that I could, with Diggs, Knox, and Josh Allen playing against a bad Titans defense, should be able to overcome that deficit by 36 points, and then whatever AJ Brown puts up. So we'll see, but something to, it'll be interesting to kind of see what goes on tonight in Monday Night Football. So that's all the news that took place on Sunday and Monday. And then anything that gets updated, I'll update that on tomorrow's podcast on the Waiver Wire Show. And now let's talk about some of the top plays every week. These are, you know, generated by Next Gen Stats. So I always go through the top plays of the week. So in week 6, starting with the fastest ball carrier, we got Bryan Edwards of the Las Vegas Raiders. He ran the fastest on his 51-yard reception yesterday for 21.15 miles per hour. You know, so new guy to the list. And so he had a nice play. I mean, that was a really nice, he got knocked out of bounds, but it would have been nice if he could have scored. And then the longest play from yesterday, that goes to Jonathan Taylor. So Jonathan Taylor had a massive game yesterday. He had an 83-yard rush that he ran 101.9 yards to get that. So kudos to him. He's starting to kind of finally get some traction there. And then what's funny about this, so the fastest sack goes to the same player, right? So the two fastest sacks in week six went to Randy Gregory. And I watched this game because I had Mac Jones yesterday. I have could be playing a two quarterback league. So Mac Jones was my second quarterback. And this was like an old school just layout hit. So he got to Mac Jones in 2.45 seconds. And then his other sack that he had came in 2.5 seconds. So like just super quick off the ball. Not the 1.9 seconds that we had a few weeks ago, but he had the two fastest sacks of yesterday. It's really good. It's really cool to see players like that who has dealt with some issues in the league, and then he finally gets an opportunity and he's able to like maximize that. So that's cool for him. That Dallas defense looks legit with Diggs and all that. I mean, that's a crazy, crazy defense right now. And then the improbable completion. So there's a touchdown pass from Baker Mayfield to Donovan Peoples-Jones. This had a completion probability percentage of 15.4%. So that was the lowest completion probability yesterday. So that was a weird game yesterday, the Cardinals versus the Browns. But Cardinals, you know, they improved to staying undefeated. And let's talk about the last, the remarkable rushes. So this is the stat that determines what you would have gotten compared to what you did get. And so that went to Jonathan Taylor yesterday as well. On his 83-yard rush, he was only expected to get 10 yards, so he had rushed 73 over expected. So pretty crazy there. So those are all the top plays for week six. Now let's go and talk about some of the games from yesterday. We'll go through all the games and all my reactions to some of these games that I was able to see. Let's start off with the Dolphins versus the Jags. This was the early game in London. The Dolphins lost this one in a last-minute field goal, 23-20. You know, the main key points to this that was interesting, like Tua, you know, Tua didn't look bad. He threw the ball 47 times. He had a really bad interception. Like he just threw it right to the player, which there was no receiver. I don't know if it was a miscommunication with the route or whatever, but overall, he had a decent game yesterday coming back from injury. Trevor Lawrence, he didn't have a great statistical game in a sense, like fantasy-wise, but he didn't throw an interception. You know, he had one touchdown pass to Marvin Jones, was a nice catch, but those were the main things with those two. And then this is where I think a lot of people are frustrated, is with Myles Gaskin. So I had dropped Myles Gaskin a few weeks ago, and then he got picked up, and they had a monster game against the Bucs yesterday, or on week five. And how many of you started Gaskin because of that game, to see him rush for five times for 9 yards and was really a non-factor? Like, that has to be the most frustrating thing when you chase points like that and you come out on the losing end of that, is a very frustrating thing. And then James Robson continues to look good. 17 carries for 73 yards and a touchdown. He gave another 3 receptions for 28 yards. So good game from James Robinson. Let's see, Mike Gesicki, good game. Eight catches for 115 yards and on 9 targets. Jalen Waddle, you're going to see Jalen Waddle's stats go up now and his fantasy value go up because of Tua. He had 10 catches for 70 yards with 2 touchdowns on 13 targets. So Jalen Waddle is the one who benefits the most. I think him and Gesicki benefit the most with Tua coming back. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic going forward. And then for the Jags, I mean, Marvin Jones had a 100-yard game. He was 7 for 100 and a touchdown with off 10 targets. And then Laviska Shenault was 6 for 54 on 10 targets as well. So with DJ Chark out of the lineup, we had a bad game last week, but this week this is the target share that we should assume that they would get, plus the fact that they got they got their receptions off those targets and all that stuff. So good to see that. Now let's go on to the Bears versus the Packers, which, you know, this was a pretty decent game to watch. The Packers won this one 24-14. Fantasy wise, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he had okay game. He had 195 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not a massive game from him, but he did give you, he gave you a touchdown on the ground. He had 3 total touchdowns. Justin Fields looks a lot. He looked a lot better yesterday. Khalil Herbert looked great in absence of Damian Williams. He had 19 carries for 97 yards and a touchdown. Let's see, Aaron Jones, he was 13 carries for 76 yards. Quiet game from Devontae Adams. He was 4 for 89 on 5 targets. Allen Robinson finally had a good game. He was 4 for 53 on 7 targets. Darnell Mooney was 5 for 45 and 1 touchdown on 8 targets. So those are pretty much the key points of this game. You know, this was it was, you know, if everyone saw the highlights of this game, Aaron Rodgers had his rush. I was going against Aaron Rodgers, so I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want him to score, but he had that rushing touchdown, and he yelled out to the Bears crowd that I still own you. And honestly, I'm not a Packers fan. I don't watch the Packers very much. I don't know what the stats are between the Packers and the Bears when Aaron Rodgers has been the quarterback, but obviously he has a winning record. The Bears have not been a very good team overall since the Packers have been, you know, or Aaron Rodgers has been the quarterback of the Packers. But it was just funny to see that, because you really don't hear a lot what the players say on the field, and then you hear that, and it's just entertaining. Moving on to the Bengals and Lions. The Bengals won this game easy, 34-11. Good game from Joe Burrow, 271 yards and 3 touchdowns. Joe Mixon had a big game, 18 carries for 94 yards. Another good game from Jamar Chase. He's 4 for 97. Joe Mixon, great as a wide receiver yesterday, 5 for 59 and a touchdown. And this was interesting to me, right? Like, we all know that Joe Mixon is a dual threat running back. Like, he can catch the ball. Like, he is a very talented running back. This is the role that he needs to be able to have. He needs to be able to be the one that rushes the ball and catches the ball and just never come off the field. I feel like that's the formula for, it's almost similar to like Alvin Kamara, right? We know Alvin Kamara is going to, you know, get majority of the playing time, but there are some running backs that shouldn't have to deal with a third down running back coming in. You know, when they had Giovanni Bernard last year, ever since Joe Mixon on the team, they had Giovanni Bernard. And so when Giovanni Bernard came in, it's like, we get that he has that role, but why can't Joe Mixon just stay on the field? Because when he produces like this, it's like, it makes sense to keep him on the field. For the Lions, DeAndre Swift, he had a touchdown. Quiet game, though. I mean, he was 13 for 24. He had 13 carries for 24 yards and a touchdown. But he did give you some good receptions. He had five. He was 5 for 4 during 7 targets. And then TJ Hockenson was 8 for 74 on 11 targets. So overall, the Lions just couldn't move the ball. Luckily enough, Swift got that touchdown to salvage your day, fantasy-wise. And then moving on to the Colts versus the Texans. I mean, this was a blowout, 31-3. Key points here is that Jonathan Taylor, big game. 14 carries for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns. He gave you another reception for 13 yards. You know, let's see. Paris Campbell, 1 catch for 51 yards and a touchdown. Molly Cox had a touchdown, 1 catch. So, I mean, not a lot of big, you know, big storylines here. I mean, T.Y. Hilton, so he came back, had a, you know, he looked great, and then he got injured. And so then he came off injury to get re-injured, and then I believe it was, if I remember correctly, it was a quad. And so hamstring injury, then a quad injury. So it's like he can't stay healthy, and that team is a lot better when he's in the lineup. But that means like Paris Campbell and, you know, Michael Pittman Jr. and then Zach Pascal, they all have to step up. But overall, the biggest fantasy outing here was Jonathan Taylor. And then Brandon Cooks finally had another good game. He had 9 receptions for 89 yards on 13 targets. So that's the overview of the Texans versus the Colts. Now going to the Rams versus the Giants. There was an easy blowout win for the Rams, 38-11. Matthew Stafford looked great, 4 touchdown passes. Daniel Jones did not look great. He had 3 interceptions. I had the Rams defense yesterday, so that obviously benefited me. Darrell Henderson looked great. 21 carries for 78 yards and a touchdown. He gave you another 2 receptions for 29 yards and a touchdown. A lot of people were concerned about Sony Michel coming to this team on a trade and then eat into Darrell Henderson's workload. But honestly, I mean, with Darrell Henderson's healthy, he's playing. So good to see that. Cooper Kupp, another big game, 9 catches for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. Robert Woods didn't have a big game, but he did give you a touchdown and whatnot. And then Sterling Shepard for the Giants, he was 10 for 76 on 14 targets. So that's crazy. And then what is another crazy thing is that Dante Pettis, who's been kind of a journeyman since he's been drafted by the 49ers, 5 for 48 on 11 targets as well. Obviously, Kadarius Tooney, he was out. You know, he left the game early. He gave you 3 for 36. I guess the other storyline is Deontay Booker, right? Deontay Booker had 12 carries for 41 yards. And so obviously if you're a Saquon Barkley owner, you had to play him because you need the running back. But if you got him off waivers and went out to the Barkley owner, I mean, that I think you still have to play him, obviously, because this offense just had a bad game with a very good defense and a very good defensive front. But you still play Booker. You have to play him because he's going to get the volume. Because Elijah Penny, even though he had the touchdown, he only had three carries, and then obviously Daniel Jones had his three carries. So just a lopsided game here. Going to the Washington Chiefs game, Patrick Mahomes, he had an okay game. I mean, he had almost 400 yards passing. He had two touchdowns and two interceptions. He gave 31 yards on the ground. Heineke just looked kind of pedestrian yesterday. Only gave 182 yards passing with a touchdown interception. Darrell Williams did great. He had 21 carries for 62 yards and two touchdowns. I was going against him yesterday, and it was frustrating. But he's the clear starter. I mean, he's the one who got the majority of the carries. Jerick McKinnon only had three carries, so I think that if you got him, you're going to be happy with what he can produce going forward. J.D. McKissic, he was 8 for 45 on the ground, and I assume that, and he had another 8 catches for 65 yards. So if Antonio Gibson cannot play because of injury, you're going to see J.D. McKissic have a pretty decent sized role going forward. So he may be a guy that's going to be you need to check on and see if he's available. If not, or if he is available, pick him up. Travis Kelce, he was 8 for 99. He left the game briefly because of a wrist injury. It seemed like he was okay. He came back. Tyreek Hill, he was dealing with some ailments too, but he was 9 for 76 and a touchdown. So it's just one of those things where it's week six. People are dealing with injuries right now. People are going to have ailments. So hopefully it's nothing serious. And, you can hopefully have these guys without any incident. But I guess your overall decent game from your main, your main Chiefs didn't disappoint you. They just didn't give you like great stats unless you're like in a PPR league. Moving on to the Vikings versus the Panthers. So this was a good game. I watched this game because I have Dalvin Cook. It's finally good to see him come back. So I watched the majority of this game. The Vikings won this in overtime, 34-28. Kirk Cousins looked good. Three touchdown passes, 373 yards. Sam Darnold did not look good. Dalvin Cook, 29 carries for 140 yards and a touchdown. He had a great touchdown run. This is what we want from Dalvin Cook. We are worried about his injury. Everyone was assuming that he had a high ankle sprain. It's still undetermined what he had. We knew he had an ankle injury. We don't know exactly if it was a high or low ankle sprain. But he gave you 29 carries. It seems like he's healthy now going into a bye week. Dalvin Cook hopefully is going to be seeing that trend go forward with him hit and just the way his fantasy value is. Big game from Adam Thielen, 11 catches for 126 yards and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson, he was 8 for 80. So if you have him in PPR leagues, it's not a terrible game. KJ Osborne, he was 6 for 78, and he had that game-winning touchdown in overtime. Chuba Hubbard, he had 16 carries for 61 yards, and he finally scored his first touchdown of his career. So it was cool to see that. DJ Moore, he was 5 for 73. And then after that, I mean, Robbie Anderson had his touchdown, but generally, DJ Moore is the guy that will benefit greatly every week because he's the number one guy, number one target leader. And then moving on to the Chargers and Ravens game. So this was a very interesting game to me. On paper, this was going to be a fantasy just like you're for anybody who's a fantasy football player. This was the game that had everything for you. Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, we had Austin Eckler, we had Mark Andrews, we had Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, we had all these fancy players that it was cool to see on one field. And Justin Herbert, he had a bad game. Both Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson had bad games. So the game being, it was mostly rushing, like Lamar Jackson had his touchdown pass to Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews continues to blow it up right now, but we had a touchdown from. This is why I do not want any part of the Ravens backfield. You had Devontae Freeman had 9 carries for a touchdown. Latavius Murray had 9 carries for 44 yards and a touchdown. Le'Veon Bell had 8 carries for a touchdown. Like this is going, this is like a flashback. Like every running back that was like relevant in like 2016 is scoring touchdowns in 2021. And so, if you had started Latavius Murray, you got your touchdown. So you got 10.4 points if you're talking about like just a standard league. But Austin Eckler, he's had 6 carries for 7 yards. He had a 1.2 average. That's crazy to me. Keenan Allen, quiet game, 5 for 50. Austin Eckler, he was okay in the air, 4 for 48. Mike Williams, he was 2 for 27, but he left the game early because of a knee injury. And then obviously, Mark Andrews had a good game, 5 for 68 in the touchdown. Marquise Brown, he was 4 for 35 and he dropped, it was a tough catch, but he dropped a touchdown. Seems like that's the kind of the thing for him this year, that he's just dropping passes and touchdown passes. But what was interesting to see was Rashad Bateman, the rookie. He came back off of IR. He contributed. He was 4 for 29. He had 6 targets. So that's a decent for your first game. That's a decent target share. So if he's available, I would try to pick him up and try to snag him just to see what happens if you have the room on your roster. But overall, just the Chargers just kind of look flat. And the Ravens were able to run the ball, and they just couldn't do anything, which is interesting because, the Ravens are a good defense, but with that offensive talent, I don't know if it had to do with Mike Williams not being on the field, where they just now focused on Keenan Allen, but that whole offense just looked just out of sync. And that's what's hard when you have a West Coast team coming to the East Coast, 10 o'clock body, on the West Coast for us, I'm watching it at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I can't imagine having to fly from LA to Baltimore and then deal with the time difference, deal with just the flight itself. Like that's always hard when you come from West Coast to East Coast. When I go to Florida, I live in Seattle. So when I go to Florida, I went to Florida 4 times this year. And it's you need a day to just kind of gather yourself. And then right when you feel like you've adjusted to the time zone and the jet lag and all that stuff, then it's time for you to come back cross country. So it's hard going from West Coast to East Coast. Now talking about the Cardinals versus the Browns, the Cardinals won this game easily 37-14. Obviously I mentioned earlier the biggest key here is that Kareem Hunt got hurt. But Kyler Murray, he gave you 4 touchdown passes. It continues to look like the front runner for the MVP. Baker Mayfield, just an average game from him. He had 234 yards and 2 touchdowns. James Conner, he led the backfield, which is interesting. 16 carries for 71 yards. Chase Edmonds only had four carries. So, like I said, Darnus Johnson, he is the guy that will take that early down role. He only had 1 carry for 2 yards, but that game was the game script was so negative for the Browns that they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't establish it, so they had to pass. But if you looked at what happened, though, Donovan Peoples-Jones had a good game. He had 4 catches for 101 yards and 2 touchdowns on 5 targets. OBJ, he left the game early with the shoulder injury, came back and played. He gave you 5 for 79. It's not the OBJ game that we are accustomed to, but it was good to see him have a better game from last week. All the main players for the Cardinals at the wide receiver, A.J. Green, 5 for 79 in a touchdown. Christian Kirk, 5 for 75 in a touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins was 3 for 55 and 2 touchdowns. So he broke these players' ankles too. I know this is kind of off topic, but there's a guy on TikTok. His name is Coach 30. And he acts like he's doing film with his players, and he says a lot of funny comedy things. And it just reminded me of how DeAndre Hopkins just broke these two players' ankles, and how they just didn't use fundamental tackling techniques and just got completely, turned around. So it'll be interesting to see if that guy does anything video-wise for a comedic relief. But he's a funny guy to follow on TikTok. I know that's off topic, but, it made me think of that because I saw that play. But other than that, we didn't really see much other. Rondale Moore, I know he was a guy that a lot of people were trying to play. He only gave you 3 catches for 16 yards. But they did rush him three times for 10 yards. So overall, the Browns need to get healthy. They need to, they play Thursday night, and they just need to, hopefully, get back in the winning column so they can keep up with the Ravens and with the Bengals and all that stuff. And, the Steelers won too. So that whole division is a tough division. Moving on to the Raiders versus the Broncos. This was a good emotional win for the Raiders. They won 34-24. Derek Carr looked great yesterday. He had 341 yards and 2 touchdowns. Teddy Bridgewater, good game from him. He had 334 yards and 3 touchdowns, but he also threw 3 interceptions. Josh Jacobs, he had 16 carries of 53 yards and a touchdown. Kenyon Drake had a breakout game yesterday. He had four rushes for 34 yards and a touchdown. Then he gave you 2 catches for 39 yards and a touchdown. So it was a definitely a good game from the running backs. For the Denver Broncos, Javonte Williams, 11 carries for 53 yards. We had Melvin Gordon have 10 carries for 50 yards. So they both were pretty much the same. But honestly, Javonte Williams, man, I've said this for week in and week out. Javonte Williams, just watching this game, because I had Cortland Sutton going in this game, he just looks better. And I just don't understand why they just won't let him just take the brunt of the work. He's a rookie. He's fast. He's bigger, stronger, faster. Just let him be the running back. I say this biasly because I own Javonte Williams just sitting on my bench. So I just want to be able to play him. And I have to play him now because everybody on my roster next week is on a bye. So I have no choice but to play Javonte Williams. So hopefully that benefits me next week. From the wide receiver standpoint, Henry Ruggs, he's 3 for 97 and a touchdown. So he had that big, that big catch in the first quarter. So this is what you get from Henry Ruggs. Like, you get these dud games, and you get games like this where you probably didn't play him. You were sitting on your bench, and then, this is like, so Henry Ruggs is on my opponent's bench that I'm playing tonight, who has AJ Brown. And so I thought maybe he would seen the news that AJ Brown was questionable with an illness and that he was going to play Henry Ruggs. And so I waited. He never made that move. So I don't know what's going to happen, but that probably theoretically would benefit me if AJ Brown is limited, because then the stats that Henry Ruggs put up yesterday will not affect me at all. But Bryan Edwards, he was 2 for 67. Now, he was very quiet until he had his 51-yard catch later on in that game. Darren Waller, quiet. He's had a couple quiet games. He was 5 for 59. For the Broncos, I had Noah Fant on my bench because I put him on the bench in favor of Dawson Knox for tonight. But Noah Fant, 9 for 97 and a touchdown on 11 targets. Cortland Sutton, 8 for 94 and a touchdown on 14 targets. And Tim Patrick, 3 for 42 and a touchdown on 6 targets. So we know that Jerry Jeudy can come back within the next few weeks. They designated him to return. So obviously we're going to see a target share reduction in these guys. I think the guy that will be probably the one that will benefit or stay the same would be Noah Fant. But man, Cortland Sutton, he looks good. I mean, the schedule gets harder for him, but he's given you some decent games this year. Hasn't been consistent, but he's definitely playing well. So moving on to let's move on to the Cowboys versus the Patriots. There was an overtime win. Cowboys won this in overtime, 35-29. This had a lot of fantasy scoring here. Dak Prescott, 445 yards and with 3 touchdowns and interception. Now, I didn't mention this in the beginning of the show, but he was seen walking out of the stadium with a walking boot on. Apparently, he had injured his calf yesterday. And so that's something to think about going forward. Because of the broken ankle, because what happens is when you break an ankle like that, you're dealing with, you'll have limitations in range of motion. So that'll cause tightness in your calf and just the biomechanics of your ankle in general. And so hopefully it's nothing serious. Hopefully that he'll be able to play. I think they have a bye week this week. So with them being on the bye, it shouldn't be an issue for him playing in week 7, but the bye week came at the right time for the Cowboys because now he can get healthy and hopefully won't be something they're dealing with for more than just a couple weeks. But Mac Jones, Mac Jones, here's the frustrating thing about Mac Jones, right? They are, they're playing decent. He's probably playing, if I'm not mistaken, and this is just my opinion, he's probably playing the best out of all the rookie quarterbacks. He's been probably the most consistent. He's been the most accurate. The volume is very low. He only threw the ball 21 times yesterday. He had 229 yards and 2 touchdowns with an interception. And so they're going to just have him do short routes, do things like that to keep him from making a huge mistakes. And he had an interception yesterday, but that came off the hands of a wide receiver. So I usually don't fault the guys who throw the ball to their receiver and it hits off their hands. Like, what can you do about that? I mean, it's one of those things where you have to not put the blame on him if he puts the ball there. So, but from the rushing standpoint, Zeke, 17 catches, 69 yards. He gave you 7 catches for 50 yards. So a decent game from Zeke. Tony Pollard, he had 10 carries for 41 yards. Damian Harris, great game from him. He was 18 for 101 and a touchdown. Ramondre Stevenson, he had 5 carries for 23 yards and a touchdown. But he also gave you 3 catches for 39 yards. So CeeDee Lamb, massive game with him yesterday. 9 catches for 149 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then he had that game winner at the end of the game. But he had 11 targets. Quiet game from Amari Cooper, 5 for 55 on 8 targets. And then Dalton Schultz, he was 5 for 79. But the other touchdown went to the other tight end, Blake Jarwin, for the New England Patriots. So there was that turnover that Mac Jones had, and then it came right back the next drive and threw a 75-yard bomb to Kendrick Bourne for a touchdown. So good game. You know, overall, that was obviously one of the bigger plays of the game. And then Jacoby Myers, he was 5 for 44. He did have a touchdown, but got called back because of a hold. So Jacoby Myers still has the most receptions in the league from the time that he was a rookie until now without a touchdown. So hopefully he gets a touchdown soon. But just very, very interesting that he still hasn't gotten a touchdown. And then going to the last game of the day with the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Seahawks, another overtime game. The Steelers won this one 23-20. You know, when you see Russell Wilson not being the quarterback, right, and you see a game of Geno Smith against Big Ben, like, you're like, this game's not going to be that exciting. And, you know, it did have its moments. It had moments where, like, it was kind of boring, but overall, it was the Steelers had this game look like it was in the bag. And then the Alex Collins got going, the Seahawks started gaining some momentum, and Alex Collins ran for ball for 101 yards. He had a touchdown. He left the game early because of glute and hip injury. But overall, I mean, you know, this was pretty much the running backs, you know, taking care of what they needed to take care of. I mean, Big Ben only had 229 yards and a touchdown. Geno Smith was 209 and a touchdown. Najee Harris looked great, 24 carries for 81 yards. Then he gave you six receptions around 46 yards and a touchdown. So he's just as good as any running back right now in the league. He's gaining the target share. He's gaining the carries. He's a workhorse back. So this is what you want to see in fantasy. From the receiving standpoint for the Steelers, just not very good at all. I mean, everyone other than Deontay Johnson, just kind of a crap game. Deontay Johnson was 9 for 71 on 13 targets. For the Seahawks, DK Metcalf, he was 6 for 58 on 7 targets. So a quiet game from him. And overall, you know, Tyler Lockett was 2 for 35. So obviously with Russell Wilson out, it obviously causes, the value of these guys to go down a little bit. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to kind of see what happens with these guys going forward, but I'm not really encouraged about that going forward. But overall, that is all the reactions and all the key points to week six. Now let's go to all my studs of the week. So this is, I mean, guy looking, yeah, a couple different guys on this list. let's see. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb, stud game. You know, he was 9 receptions for 149 yards and 2 touchdowns. Cooper Kupp had a massive game. He was stud this week. Kirk Cousins, great game from Kirk Cousins. Jonathan Taylor was great. And then Leonard Fournette had a great game as well. So those were the studs of week five, my five most impressive guys. And then my five most disappointing guys, Justin Herbert. In the same game, we had Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson, two guys that are fantasy studs who just both had bad games and just couldn't get it going. But obviously, Lamar Jackson has a better running game. That's how they got that game won, because of that. So on top of that, Austin Eckler, bad game from Austin Eckler, not what you expect from Austin Eckler on a week-to-week basis. Miles Gaskin, so I put him on this list because he had a breakout game last week against the Bucks. A lot of you probably started on this week and was super disappointed, so he's on my most disappointing list. And then lastly is Chase Claypool. You know, with the injury to Juju, you expected somebody to step up. Deontay Johnson's always been the constant guy in that lineup, but you would expect Chase Claypool to step up. Now, there were a couple plays that he could have had that would have made that game a lot better. You know, he could have scored a touchdown. There's a lot of things that could have went his way if he just, you know, just a little bit here and there that he had to kept his foot in or whatever. But just disappointed because he had the opportunity to improve his target share and just didn't happen. And then he didn't capitalize on the target share that he was going to get with Juju being out. But That's my five most impressive, my five most disappointing. Don't forget, we have Monday Night Football tonight. It's the Bills versus the Titans. Like I said earlier, I got Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox going tonight against A.J. Brown. I am down by 36 points, so hopefully I come out this week with a win and be on a two-game winning streak and be the guy who scored the most points 2 weeks in a row. So we'll see how that happens. Hopefully you guys have players that are going that will eventually get you a win this week. So good luck tonight. Hopefully everything falls your way. But that's it for today. Now, if you want to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, we're at the Gridiron Pod. We're on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So if you want to send me any questions, fantasy football related, please message me on Instagram. I'll love to help you out with any questions you may have. It is do it with injury updates or start sits, whatever you need. But that's available to you. And then tomorrow I'll be back with the top waiver wire pickups for week 7. So don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss that on YouTube and over on the podcast. But hopefully you win and hopefully you have a good week. And then hopefully some of these guys that you're shooting for, and if you have some injuries or bye weeks, we have a lot of players on bye. We have the Cowboys, and then I know the Chargers are on bye week. I can't remember who else is, but we have a lot of the Vikings. We have a lot of key players out. So this is the week that you need to pick up the guys you can to help substitute for that, so you can kind of get an ugly win next week. So we'll be back tomorrow. So we'll see you tomorrow, and take care.